96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory.
Glory. Glory.
Oh,
glory. Glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon. Formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh,
glory. Glory.
Oh. Now the war is not over, victory isn't won, but we'll fight on to the finish, and then when it's all done, we'll cry glory, oh glory, oh, oh.
Glory.
We'll cry glory.
Good morning, welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Leland Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I have no clue what you do at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is you do do, I'm happy that you're doing that, that you've decided to do that do with me. I want to say this. I don't know what's happening with my voice this morning. Maybe it is the hand of the Lord. I'm not sure. I know one thing. I sound like an Episcopal Reverend Bishop. And so bear with me. Let's hope it gets better. We'll see. Outside of that, though, I want to say this because if you remember, I said I was going to start the series Pregnant in the Pandemic, right? Can I tell you, though, a short bit about my Sunday? Sunday, I like to do my liquor drinking, right? That's what I do on Sunday. I go and watch the Dolphins be terrible, and I drink liquor, right? And on my way, of course, down Cowpen Road, headed home, there was a baby. A whole baby on the sidewalk in the area of Silvergate, just standing there. Could you imagine my dismay? Imagine what would have happened, right? If this baby, by chance, very nice baby hair, beautiful baby, right? But imagine if this baby had ran off of this sidewalk. And I'll tell you this, this is the thing that was most curious to me. The baby wasn't even on the side of the house where there are on the side of the street where there are houses. The baby was on the side of the street where the bushes are, right? Let me zero you. Silvergate, Cowpen Road. There's a townhouse kind of thing there. Some new little shrimp something there. And the corner take you to Silvergate. And this baby, because it's dark, I want to tell you, Alfred says, you know, I've been telling you the things that I could fetch about around here. Cowpen Road is one of them. Barker's Road, Parliamentary Secretary in the Ministry of Works, my member of parliament. That happens to be your constituency as well. The road there is very dark. We need to work on it. But there was a whole baby, one whole human baby standing on the sidewalk. And I like to call people idiots often. So I saw some guy in a dark shirt running up the middle of the road, right? And I said, where is this idiot going? Much to my surprise, not very much of an idiot at all, quite actually a superhero, a capeless one, didn't know the baby, doesn't know whose baby it is. We don't even know how the baby got to where it was. I suspect him of being a police officer now that I've looked at him in my retrospective recollection. He either was a police officer or a Defense Force Marine, I can tell. You know, they built them the same way, back and shoulders, right? And so to whomever that gentleman was, let me firstly thank you on behalf of the family. Let me thank you on behalf of the possibilities you've now created for that child. Let me thank you on my own behalf. Because had I knocked that baby down, I was burning down the whole of Cowpen Road, right? Because that would have entirely messed up my entire day, week, month, year, possibly life, trying to figure out whether or not I, through some reckless endangerment, caused the life of a child on the sidewalk. So to the parents of that child, I don't want to just chide you, but I want to say, we have to make sure your baby don't be on the sidewalk, all right? To the fella that saved the baby, if by chance you listen to this show and you remember this story, it happened Saturday, I would say around 8:30, you know, that was right after the Dolphins was done being terrible. And I was headed home. If you remember this story, please feel free to reach out to me. You can find me on Facebook, just in case you witness it in that area. And I know what you're going to say, well, even why didn't you stop? Well, if you know that area, by the time as I got up the street and turned around, they had already cleared the street. So I didn't even see where they went. Why did I not obstruct traffic? Because he was already obstructing traffic. And I understand that there's only enough need to quarantine the situation. It was quarantined. The man is holding the baby elevated in the air saying, whose baby, whose baby, whose baby? So I know he isn't trying to steal the baby. And like I said, by the time as I turned around, they had already had it all cleared up. And so that happened on Saturday. Again, to the gentleman, I tip my hat, salute, say bravo Zulu to you. I feel like you understand the language. To the parents of the baby, man, that's a decent baby. All right? Anyway, so now that we've gotten that out of the way, I got some things I want to talk about. I'm here in studio. Destiny Monroe is my guest. We're talking about pregnancy in the pandemic. You may have heard by now that there has been quite a bit of a movement afoot with disgruntled women who have all suffered the same fate, and that is they either went into the hospital and came out with COVID, they either went into the hospital pregnant and came out with no baby, they either went into the hospital, came out with a baby, ended up with a sick baby, had to take it back, possibly didn't come out with a baby. And so all of these scenarios seem to end similarly, where there is some sort of pain and suffering to young Black Bahamian women, primarily those going through the early stages of motherhood. And so I wanted to address that because I feel like it's something that we need to talk about as a society. Follow me every Tuesday. I've got a couple of guests lined up. And I have in studio also my co-pilot for the series, Roxy Starr, is going to be helping me. So let's get the introductions out of the way. Roxy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Okay, you sound like you said you haven't had the coffee
no,
yet.
No, and I'm waiting on the coffee.
Wow. And then, of course, our actual guest, Destiny Monroe, is here with me. Good morning, Destiny. How are
good
you?
Good morning.
Talk straight into that mic for me, please.
Good like,
pull
morning.
It, to you. It comes towards you.
Oh, okay.
Perfect. Okay. All right, good. And so tell us, you found yourself pregnant about how deep into this pandemic?
I found out I was pregnant maybe in May.
Of 2020?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Well, it couldn't be May of 21. When did you find out?
Yeah, I think May of 2021. May I found 21. Out late that I was pregnant.
Okay, sure. Okay.
So, yeah, it had to be in 2021.
Okay, May 2021.
Yes.
Go on. And
When I found out I was pregnant, I went through the proper procedures of going to the clinic, you know, for regular checkups. You know, with the pandemic, you can't go in the clinic with anybody. You'll have to go by yourself.
All right.
Do that. You go get checked. Go as usual. Mm-hmm. Let the doctors, the nurses check you. And then you come back for your monthly or even weekly checkup.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about it.
Which is this government community clinic?
Yeah, government clinic.
Okay.
I went to.
So you went to a government community
yes.
clinic. Was outside of the fact that you couldn't have family members there with you.
Right.
What were some of the struggles dealing with that?
Well, you know, say you trying to get up or trying to give enough support
mm-hmm.
there because you don't know necessarily what could possibly happen when you go to the clinic.
Okay.
So I feel personally like even though with the pandemic going on, we should still have at least, say, a mother or your spouse mm-hmm. there to support you when you go to the clinic. You mm-hmm. understand what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Because sometimes you could feel like you having a proper pregnancy or even a good pregnancy, and then when you go there, you may get some bad news. Mm-hmm. You understand? Like, say right. They may have to rush you to the hospital, but you say if they rush you to the hospital, you can't go there with your spouse, you can't go there with your mother or whomever it is. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm mm-hmm. saying? You just go there by yourself mm-hmm. because of the pandemic.
Okay, what was the treatment and care at the clinics something? Was it difficult or tough during this time?
No, it really wasn't difficult. Like I was saying, like it really wasn't difficult. It really wasn't even no change, mm-hmm. like to say, because you know usually I personally would go to the clinic by myself.
Okay.
I wouldn't carry nobody with me. I would go there by myself. I would go early because you have to come early,
right.
Get a number and wait because right. you have to get scan, you have to get temperature check and all them other stuff.
Right.
So, it really wasn't a big change. I can't speak for other people, but I could speak for myself.
How fearful were you? Like, you found out, okay, May of this year, I'm about, I don't know, 4 months pregnant.
No, actually, I was far.
Well, how far you was?
I think because, I was about, you know, 6 months.
Oh, bless the Lord.
So, good pregnancy, no show in
yeah,
6 months.
Yeah.
My stomach yet. Was flat.
Woo!
That's interesting. Woo. So, 6 months into this pregnancy, man,
right.
man, these are the kind of pregnancy you want.
Great for, baby.
Yeah. So you find out 6 months pregnant that you are pregnant. Instantly, you kick into mother mode. You start taking the necessary
right.
precautions. Start going to see the physicians.
Right.
You start going to the clinic.
Right.
Are you afraid any at all during this time?
Well, you know, at the time they would say keep on your mask, make sure you're sanitized so you wouldn't catch COVID. You know, at the time they were saying pregnant woman would be one of the top to catch COVID.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you would always be secure to make sure you wouldn't catch it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you reach the hospital, not the hospital, the clinic, you social distance, you keep on your mask, and you always sanitize.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's basically about it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go up close or try to know. Once someone say wait, I tend to learn and understand.
Mm-hmm.
If you say wait, then wait.
That's fine, yeah.
I ain't trying to hurry up, rush. If I come 7 and you don't serve me till 9, then that's fine.
Okay.
I just need to hurry up, get served, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically it.
Okay, so now you get to 3 months later or thereabout, you're about to have a baby.
Right.
Are you having complications before that?
I never had complications in my pregnancy.
At all? None?
None at all.
Okay, but you know you're going into BMH.
Yes, of course. I know I'm going into BMH to have.
I'm sure you must know. You must hear the stories. You wonder what to expect. What's happening in your mind the day before? Did you have an induced birth or did you actually go through the whole
no.
my water break?
No.
They sent me to the hospital?
Mm-mm. They induced my labor.
Okay.
Honestly, I could be honest. The news and the horror stories wasn't as bad.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing that was circling about PMH was COVID.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You understand? It was just okay when you go into the hospital, you know, it's possible you could catch COVID or it's possible you could catch this, you could catch that. Just keep your mask on, mm-hmm. you pray and you sanitize. That's basically it.
Right.
It was never no horror story I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would have heard one or two,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't as much as I've been hearing now.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? So I wasn't really scared. Only thing I was really scared for was the COVID,
okay.
to not catch COVID, because mm-hmm. I'm not vaccinated.
Okay.
So you understand? So it's just for me to be safe and then for my child to be safe when
mm-hmm.
I have it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was basically it. I wasn't scared. Like, I just was going, like, I always put my mind to it. Go in, have my baby, and go home.
Okay.
That's basically it. I ain't trying to hang up in no hospital. I ain't trying to do none of that. Just go in, listen to what they have to say, and have my baby, and go home. That's it.
So you get in the hospital, and what happens?
Okay, when I went there, they told me, okay, well, you know, you have to take a COVID test. I did not know that at the time. So they took my COVID test, and then before you get admitted, you have to take a COVID test. So they take mine, so I had to wait, like, maybe 4 to 5 hours for the results to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fine. That was basically, you know, they do the regular routine, check you, put the monitor on your stomach and check the baby heart rate and make sure the baby moving, breathing and doing all that fine. Mm-hmm. When my COVID results came back is when they told me, okay, we could start the process of you inducing the labor, getting the enema and doing all the other good stuff.
Okay. Okay.
I like how you pretty that up. I've had a child. It is not good stuff.
Well, the good stuff.
The hollering and screaming.
Yeah.
Okay. And get she looks right like she's a hollerer and a screamer.
I am not a hollerer and a screamer.
She looks like she's calm and cool.
Listen to me. Once I put my mind to it, I am going there to have this child.
That was
Guess what? I'm going there to have this child. I ain't going home without having this child.
Yeah.
That's it.
So you said you didn't hear many of the horror stories. The only thing you had heard about was COVID.
Right.
What happened in your experience at the hospital? I mean, when did that turn around?
All right. So I had baby on the 31st of August, 2021. Mm. When I had him, my baby came up bright, bouncing, crying, small. He was small, but he was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the nurses and to the doctors, my baby was up. Great, healthy, nothing was wrong with him. Because to my knowledge, my baby was still eating, drinking, doing as usual. No newborn babies sleep.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They usually sleep all day. Sleep, yeah, sleep. That's it. So when they came me on to the next ward, I think that's the maternity ward, to just relax. They brought my baby to me. And I look at him and I was like, boy, this baby bright. You know, baby's a bright baby. But I always just could tell my baby by the clothes I put on them.
Mm-hmm.
So when they came, that was like right around 7. They came to check him again like around 8. They took him, take his blood and everything. I asked the doctor, I say, he opened up his eyes. Yeah, he opened up his eyes. I say, all right. I say, I guess whenever y'all take the blood and y'all stick him again, I guess he's opened up his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
When y'all bring him back, he must shut them. That's all I say. Because he ain't ever really opened up his eyes for me.
Mm-hmm.
As the time went by in the hospital, they continued to take blood, continued to get my baby, continued to stick him.
Mm.
As the usual process. But I personally feel like you ain't supposed to take that much blood from a newborn baby. So, instance was something had to been wrong. Mm. You understand? So, long story short, they take so much blood and he had to come back with any results. They keep on telling me the blood, I think the system or whatever it was down, so they had to do it manually.
Mm.
That's understandable. At the time when I was in hospital, it was very full.
Mm.
And then it was plenty of people who was coming in to have babies. You know, when you're in the hospital full and people come in to have baby, they tend to hurry up, rush other people who are already in care.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, to hurry up, get other people. Yeah. You understand?
The system is overwhelmed. Yeah.
Right. So, as the time went by, like I said, they continued to take blood from my baby. When, I think it was that Thursday, the nurse came to me and said, oh, you still inside, so you could tell I was in there long.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I still waiting on them to discharge my baby. A couple hours after that, the nurse came to me and said, hey, you could call your ride. You could discharge, they ready to discharge your baby. But before that, previously, a doctor came to me and said, boy, your baby look a bit yellow.
Mm. So like, not like yellow in the colloquial behavior.
Yeah, not yellow bone, not yellow tail.
No,
right.
Not yellow, but
yellow skinned.
Yellow skin. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I say, if my baby look a bit yellow, why we just don't put him on the light? Because from you here, your baby look a bit yellow. You already know, hey, that's Musty jaundice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, we can't put him on the light. We have to do more tests. So I say, what you mean to do more tests if you already take so much blood from him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but we have to take more blood. That day when she told me that afternoon they discharged me. Mm. No doctor came to me and told me, hey, this what it was and this what it is. No one came. A nurse, she's down by the door. She didn't even come in. She said, hey, Miss Monroe, you could call your ride and tell him come for you. I say, all right.
Okay, so you just spoke to a doctor.
Right, that was that morning.
That morning. The doctor confirmed that based on sight, based on their professional opinion, your child looks
a bit yellow.
Right?
Yeah.
We all know that's jaundice.
And my response to her was...
Well, we didn't all know that.
Why?
Well, most of us know who've had mothers, if the skin yellowy,
that's jaundice.
Which is also one of the reasons you ask if the baby opened the eyes, because you see it in the eyes as well.
Mm.
The testing that should have been done, the blood work should have tested their bilirubin count, the bilirubin number, and all of these things should have been checked before that child was discharged. And if it was checked and testing showed that the bilirubin number was
high,
that child should have never been discharged.
I agree.
So, man, listen, I am going to start to watch Doogie Howser MD as well. Okay, because all you have to do is watch a decent episode of Doogie Howser. Go on. So, the baby is discharged along with you.
Yes.
Okay. Still no eyes opening.
No. He's crying, at least. He's crying, you know, sure. He's passing, he's still latching onto the breast as usual. Mm. He isn't opening up like fully like how our eyes are, but he's opening up like the peak.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So we went home that Thursday, that Friday, my baby was doing the usual. Eating, sleeping, passing, crying.
Mm-hmm.
But still isn't opening up his eyes. So I, because previously, like my last pregnancy, my baby hasn't opened, he didn't open up his eyes until like a couple days. So mm-hmm. I just thinking it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So now, that Saturday, my baby opened up his eyes. His eyes was yellow, but it wasn't as yellow as if y'all saw the videos and the footage of my baby. It wasn't as yellow. You understand? So I put him out in the sun 3 times, mm-hmm. feed him every 2 hours, so the bilirubin could pass out of his system.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
That Sunday morning when I went to feed him around 2 a.m., because that was 2 hours. So mm-hmm. that Sunday morning when I went to feed him around 2 a.m., I realized he just laying there like, ain't latching onto the breast, ain't doing nothing. So I saying in my head, you may just be sleepy, you know, because it's around 2 a.m. Everybody wake them up, mm-hmm. they sleepy. So as time went by, going again to feed him. Same thing. I just seen in my head, this baby must be really sleepy. So that morning when my mommy came to bring me some breakfast, I say, mommy, Jaheim ain't opening up his, he ain't latching onto the breast and he ain't opening up his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So she say, ma, just keep on trying to just rub the breast onto the baby lip and all that, you know, mm-hmm. what you're supposed mm-hmm. to do and squeeze up the mold mm-hmm. and all that. I hold him, my baby neck was literally dropped back.
Oh my God.
Wow.
So you could tell like something was wrong, so I said, me, something didn't feel right. I lay down, I feed him, I do everything. I lay down in that bed and I watch him like, when my baby opened up his eyes, I couldn't believe the color of my baby eyes.
My baby eyes. How long would you have been out of the hospital at this point?
I got discharged at Thursday. Mm-hmm. So I was at the hospital like 3 days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
3 days. You understand? Right. 3 days I was at the hospital.
And now your baby has jaundice.
Now my baby has a severe case of jaundice. Just severe case of jaundice. Mm. When I look at my baby eyes was green.
Wow.
It wasn't even yellow.
Mm.
It was green. My brother say Destiny. He was out breathing. He just was like gasping, like... You understand? Like, he's trying to gasp for breath.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, something just seen. It didn't look right. This can't jaundice ain't supposed to never. You understand? Because, you know, everybody growing up, the old people always say, put them out in the sun. And
it's the vitamin D that they need.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I call the hospital. I call them. I told them. I say, my baby having these symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, hold on, what's the name? And what day you had baby and... But they discharged, so I told them. So they said, anyway, a doctor will call you back.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe like 5-10 minutes, they call back. She said, oh, Miss Manuel, please bring your baby ASAP. So from she said that, I say something had to been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So on my way to the hospital, I holding my baby in his hand, and I looking at my baby like, I feel like my baby was done dead. Because the way he was positioning himself,
mm-hmm.
And the way I left my baby arm up, it dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I left my baby neck up, it dropped. So, came to the hospital reach. But see, about 2 to 3 or 4 doctors came and rushed and take my baby away from me. When I take him, she take his temperature and everything. So I asked him, I say, what happened? Well, we trying to run some tests now to see. So I say, what you mean you trying to run some tests? My knowledge, my baby, I just had baby. I just was in the hospital. Y'all just take the amount of blood from my child. You try and tell me y'all have to take more blood to see what happened? So we say, a male doctor came in and said, your baby is very ill.
Mm.
So I say, oh, my baby could be so ill if he just was home and he just was here. Oh, Miss Manu, we have to do more tests. Let me tell you how I knew something was wrong. When I was sitting down, they had to close the door. 2 to 3 doctors came back in the room. They had to close the door to where my baby was. I see when the male doctor came and started to take some lights. The same lights they supposed to put my baby under when he was in the hospital. They get 4 or 5 of those lights. Or the wherever they got it from and carried in the room. You know, I heard them saying, oh, well, why you discharge the baby? right? This is what they said. I hear and listening because for me say, why a baby so weird? That done come to me to say something wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, why you discharge the baby? Why you discharge the baby? I'm saying like, hold on. So I call my mommy. I said, me, something not have been wrong with Jayeen while he's in hospital, you know, because ain't no way my baby could have get sick so quick. Time went by. You know what them doctors told me my baby had? An infection.
Do you remember the name of the infection?
That's the sad thing about it. They never told me. You know, every time I ask.
I mean, because anything could be an infection, right?
Oh, we don't know. We trying to figure out now. We trying to do more tests. I say, no, man. Something ain't right. Something like, but the fact that something was wrong with my baby, my mind was just done far gone. So as the time went by, sitting in the hospital, like I said, with this pandemic, nobody could come with you. So I wasn't there by myself.
Going through this.
Just sitting in my head, Lord, please spare my baby life, Lord. Just please. I done been through all this. Just hurry up. Just please. Just spare me. Because I saying, like, how? I feel like that's my fault.
Right.
You understand? As the time went by, everybody come to me passing, oh, your baby's so sick, your baby's so ill. I saying, like, how?
Right.
How we get so sick so
Three
quick?
3 days later.
Exactly. How we get so sick so quick?
Right.
I tell you, must see every doctor on that ward, every hair doctor, everybody was in that ward dealing with my child. When they called me, they moving from the nursery up to the children's ward upstairs. I followed them, you know. Take care of my baby. My baby was hooked up. My baby was just stitched up, just like, you know, just stop coming from him, dad coming from him. Just we came to the children's ward. I sit no down. He had my baby in his own room. The doctor came to me. She said, I need you to fill out this form. So I said, what the form for? She said, the form is to, for us to get, what it is, she said, to get confirmation to work on him.
Okay.
To find out what happened. So I just said, okay. So I asked the nurse, I said, could I see him? She said, Miss Manuel, honestly, you can't because he's not stable. So I said, what you mean he's not stable? Like, I trying to picture everything in my head. Like, first he's sick, he ill, he ain't stable. Y'all got to take all his blood.
So what was the fear? Did they fear you had, like, possibly like, COVID exposure and they didn't want... What do they mean? The child is unstable, so the mother couldn't
his,
go in?
No, his blood pressure was low.
That's fine, but you are the mother of the child.
I know, but it wasn't making sense to me. Like, I personally feel like as the time went by, they knew it was their fault. So they was trying to keep me away from seeing him. You understand what I'm saying? But I sit back and I just was like, something ain't odd now. If my baby had an infection, y'all could have treated that. I feel like y'all could have treated if it was an infection. But if it, I feel like they knew it was a jaundice case. And they knew where they discharged him. Knowing he had jaundice, the jaundice got so severe. I tell you what, so time went by, sit there. A doctor came to me and she said, Miss Monroe, your baby sick, bad. Say, I just want you to just pray and just call someone to come in there with you. So I say, I ain't call my mommy. You understand? So when I call her, mommy start crying. So I said, me, I can't take you crying or whatever. So the doctor say, as I asked the doctor, I say, if you think I could go home, she said, Miss Monroe, I don't think it's best for you to go home right now because your baby he ain't gonna make it. She said, I don't feel like your baby can make it.
And this is a baby that you carried 9 months, left the hospital 3 days later.
So she say, don't go, just sit and wait.
Did the hospital chaplain at least come?
Nothing.
So this was, you're in the hospital, and let me know if you need to take a break. You're in the hospital, you're all alone. The last thing you see is your child being taken to the children's ward, attached to machines, etc.
Right.
You're asked to sign a clearance
consent form to say, hey, we have right to.
Did they let your mother come?
Listen, I get there. When she came, she said, just call someone to come.
Okay.
And I called my mom and she came.
Okay.
So when she came, she say, hey, what happened? She asked me what happened. I tell her what they telling me. He have an infection. She asked me, what infection? I said, I don't know because they ain't telling me what infection he have. So now, I tell you, hours went by. I just sit there, sit there, but they just keep passing, saying, just pray, your baby very sick. Your baby very sick. So another doctor came and say, we have to carry him to NICU.
Mm.
So from you hear that, you already know something ain't right. Like, this already must have been too far. She said, we have to carry him to NICU because we're giving him the strongest medications. So the strongest medications there is, and he isn't taking it. Like, his body isn't reacting how it's supposed to. So I just say, all right. So she say, okay, just follow us down to NICU. And then she say, you want to hold him? Not hold him, but hold his hand. Because in the little cube, they have them in, you know, two of the, two of the little, right?
Yeah.
So I say, I can't do it. I say, I can't. Like, she say, you sure? I say, I can't. So the nurse come to me, she say, Ms. Manu, please walk with us and hold your baby and let him know you did everything you could. You understand? So I say, why are you telling me these things? Like, you feeling me? Like, you making me feel like y'all, like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these the last couple hours of my baby life. So I did that, you know. I had this, and the sad thing is, I park a bag just thinking, well, okay, if he goes in the hospital, he may have to stay for a couple of days. I parked this bag, and I parked Pampers, clothes, everything there. But I even was pumping my breasts for milk. Just that's how full my breast was. Man, I followed them, and I hold my baby hand, and I just, like, my mind was so far gone. So we went down to the NICU ward. Me and mommy just sitting there, like, it was just time just going by. And I was getting frustrated, like, why nobody coming to say, y'all just keep coming to tell me my baby's sick.
Mm-hmm.
He have an infection, but y'all ain't telling me, hey, he getting better. Hey, we doing what we, you understand what I'm saying? Y'all just coming with me with these bad news and come on, like, I couldn't tell you that. That's a baby I carry for 9 months to just lose in a couple of days. Sitting down there. A doctor come. And same doctor, but she just came. She sat down with me and she say, Miss Monroe, I just want to let you know. I just want you to come in the room with your baby and just talk to him and just hold him and just let him know you did your best.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You did your best. So I saying, I done start crying. Like, I, Miami crying, I crying. Just so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into the room, you know. Before I went into the room, the doctor told me, say, if you see his heart rate drop below 60, we have to code it. Mm-hmm. So I say, if his heart rate drop, so I say, because she's saying we still ain't stabilized him to the point where his blood pressure, you understand, where his heart is pumping enough blood for all his organs and all that. She said, but I just want you to see him. I walk inside that room, right? When I walk in that room, it was a nurse who was dealing with him. She continued to take blood from him, but she was taking blood from the bottom of his feet, right? Mm-hmm. She was taking blood from the bottom of his feet. I didn't dawn on it right away. But anyway, she keeps on taking blood. I stand there, I hold my baby, I rub his hair, and they just have my baby just hook up to all kind of different machines, all kind of different stuff pumping into him. And man, I stand there. I look at that machine. His heart rate was 105.
Mm-hmm.
It dropped to 100. Then it dropped. The mommy, see that? You see that? When I look at that, my baby heart rate dropped to 54.
Wow.
When that dropped, they coded. They take me out the room. All the doctors and nurses who was on the ward went into this room. So now I just shake and I say, Lord, please, just, you know, let him to get back to where he needs to be. A couple of minutes later, I see the doctor came and say, from ICU, taking off her gloves and coming with her gown and all them stuff. I had a dancey in my head. Yeah, she coming to tell me something. She said, Ms. Monroe, we did our best. When she said we did our best, all I could see was, I couldn't even, like, I would just drop to a point where I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
She said, we did our best to see it. I say, you serious? She said, yes, I am. She said, but your baby couldn't hold long any longer. I say, mommy, I can't believe this. I dropped down. I start crying. Like, the doctors and the nurses just keep telling me, just relax, you know, just take a breath and all that. So they say, whenever you're ready, you could come and see him. I went into that room and I saw my baby just lay there ready to touch all the machines and stuff. I went in that room and just saw my baby just laying there, just, that's it. Like a lifeless body just laying there. So I take him up and I was holding him and I just was praying. I just was talking to him and I just say, you know, mommy did her best, you know, to save you.
Wow.
My mind was just far gone. Like, it was, my mind just wasn't there. Like, I couldn't believe I lose him. Because he went from a healthy baby to a baby would die within days.
Right.
That's impossible. And you don't, and y'all don't have no explanation to tell me why or how my baby died.
Mm-hmm.
My baby died on that 6th. They told me, hey, they have the sign. I have to sign a paper off so they could do an autopsy on him because, you know, he died under 12 hours. So right. They say under 12 hours. But it was under 12 hours.
Right.
So I say, okay.
So as you had to go do a pathology report, which means the baby now has to go to the morgue.
Yeah, they had to do all of that.
Yeah, okay.
So as the time went by, days and things went by, I went, like, I didn't know how to feel because I never knew how it was to lose a child. So I just used to be home, just laying down, ain't doing nothing.
Mm.
You understand? I just was there. So as the time went by, we was just debating on if we should cremate him. Or we should do a funeral. I just was like...
How long did the pathology take?
Just the thing.
When did he die? What was the date that he passed?
My baby died on the 6th of September.
Wow.
I found a funeral home, I think maybe 2 weeks after that. Mm-hmm. Restview. I found a funeral home. When I found the funeral home, I decided hey, I was going to cremate him. Went to the funeral home, gave them the birth certificates and everything. Without with all they needed. They went to the hospital. The doctors ain't signing off my baby autopsy yet.
2 weeks later?
This was, I think, 3 weeks later.
This would be like around the 21st.
To be honest.
Yeah, but the end of September.
Boy, I could be real. I think this was like the end of September.
Mm.
You know why?
And the pathologist hadn't signed off on the death certificate.
The doctor ain't even authorized the...
Listen.
Autopsy? Yeah, that's what she's saying.
No, they maybe had, you know. But a doctor had to sign off on his.
So the pathologist hasn't signed off on right. On the, okay.
So now I was a back and forth. Where, oh, the doctor didn't release the baby yet. The doctor didn't sign off on the baby yet. This and all that. Literally, my see 2 weeks, he was back and forth at the hospital.
So
now we in October.
Mm.
You know, I just cremated my baby last week and a half.
What was the official cause of that?
Billy Rubin.
Wow.
Billy Rubin and sensibly, I can read it to what it is. I can read it and show y'all what was his cause of death.
Wow.
Because you know they is write funny on these birth on these death certificates and stuff. You do not understand what they is be typing. I mean writing. So when I read it. Billy Rubin, whatever that word is, is a rare neurological condition that occurs in some newborn with severe jaundice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a condition where very high bilirubin level is in the blood or deposited in the brain tissue, causing irreversible damage to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
That's how my baby died.
See, so that can't happen in your care in 2 days. That's something that would have been showed up in the blood work
from he was born.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? You know why it got so worse? Because it just rise. The level just was rising.
Because it was
the
left
time.
Untreated.
If they had detected my baby had bilirubin in his blood from day one, my baby would have still been here right now.
Wow. Let's take a break. 323-623-2323-254-316. I'm not sure if the lines will be open, but I definitely have the text line 422-4796. I'm here, I'm talking to Destiny Munro. I mean, if this doesn't have you parking on the side of the road to cry, I don't know what will. You can't believe these kinds of things happen. And for whatever it is worth, with all of the advances that Princess Margaret Hospital has made over the years, we still have stories like Destiny Munro's. We're going to the break. This is Leva Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Don't move. I've got more show on the next side.
Hubert Edwards Global, in collaboration with Dr. Dave Burrows and iRise, presents the 5th Annual Success Summit under the theme, Success Keys to Transform Your World, December 3rd through 4th. 2 days of transformational experiences with dynamic presenters from the Bahamas, Nigeria, Canada, USA, and Jamaica. You can't afford to miss this mind shift moment. 5 scholarship grants, 2 leadership awards, 1 life-changing event. This is a virtual event, so visit www.nlsolutionsbahamas.com for more details. This is what you've been waiting for. Success Summit 2021.
Hey, did you find the show interesting? Do you want to be a part of the conversation? Well, sponsor Unleashed today. Call 302-2304 or 302-2375 to see which package is right for you. Join Layvon Miller as he ignites the passion of the next generation by bridging the gap with engaging conversations and innovative ideas. Take action and sponsor Unleashed today at 302-2304 or 302-2375 and be unleashed.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for staying with me. It's Levin Miller. I'm on Guardian Radio. That means I'm unleashed. That obviously means that it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. You know, I say two things very often around this place. There are two sets of people that live in the Bahamas that I will never be able to understand. That is people that live in the Bahamas and do not drink, and people that live in the Bahamas and do not cuss.
And I do both.
Because, I mean, stories like these are the kinds of stories that make you cuss while you're drinking something. And no, I'm serious. Let me tell you this. I have had the occasion to have a hospitalized child. It is possibly the most nerve-wracking experience in your entire life. I mean, I've had a daddy hospitalized. I've had siblings hospitalized. None of them, grandmothers hospitalized. Nothing compares to when you open that door. And the people them got every pump in this building hook up to your baby. Yes, baby. You see, I mean, just the mental anguish of it all is enough to drive you crazy. But I walked out of the hospital with my child.
You're lucky.
And I imagine had I not,
there would be no more PMH.
We would have. We would have to donate it to like the Antiquities and Monuments Department or something. And so I have to first of all commend you for your courageousness. You are certainly more gravitas than I could ever be. I promise you, I don't own a bulldozer, but I would rent a bulldozer
for
this special project.
And the thing about it is, leaving a lot of mothers, when you hear the stories like hers, I promise you, after the show, I want you to see the impact that her coming on this platform and speaking about a story has on the more stories that come out of women who have had horror stories in PMH. I'm not saying that the healthcare system is perfect.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
And it's run by humans. Humans error.
Right.
That's just the way that it
right.
is.
Right.
But my boy,
have any of
some things just should not happen.
Right.
Let me tell you what I take issue with. I'll tell you how this all came about. Have any of the woman groups reached out to you? Because I'm nobody, and I'm nobody,
I
ran into your story.
Like,
so I mean, I believe it's everywhere.
You wouldn't believe, like, everybody had reached out to me. Mothers who never posted, mothers who just let it just die down, and just like, I have stories of mothers in my phone of their child and the negligence.
But
of
I'm
PMH.
Talking about the support groups, though, because we got a million of them. It's a million of them. Woman down,
the lady,
loose,
I was
all
on the,
kind of people
I was on
here.
the live when they went to the protest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I went down there, and then another lady, I think, I can't remember her name, is Carrie. Hannah Carrie, that's her name.
Okay.
Yeah, she reached out to me also. But like I said, I really, I really wasn't looking for no reach out, to be honest. I just posted it.
I get that. I understand that a lot of times you aren't necessarily looking for help.
Right.
The reason why help organizations exist, though.
Yeah.
Right? Like people who find themselves stranded don't ever understand the necessity of having a defense force until they are stranded.
Right.
So I get it. You don't ever think you need help. But whenever you find yourself in a situation like that, like, help should come. I imagine the hospital should have sent their chaplain. Their chaplain should have forwarded your case to the social service department. The social service department should have had one of these women group reach out to you.
Up to this day, I personally feel like the hospital already knew my story was posted. I know it went viral, and I know they saw it also.
The hospital doesn't reach out to you?
You think they reach out to me? You think they call, or you think they, hey, let's try find this woman to explain to her what happened to her child. Wow. No one has. And it hurt me to know that my baby died under y'all care because of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all didn't even reach out.
What was the reason they discharged you so quickly? Was it because you said the hospital
It wasn't quickly. I was in the hospital like 3 days.
Okay.
So it wasn't quickly.
Okay.
My process was very slow. So that means the fact that I was in the hospital for all those days...
Mm-hmm.
Y'all should have determined or detected that my baby had something.
Right, so even if we discharged you,
y'all
the baby
kept him.
Should have stayed. All right.
But even if so, for my baby was born, you know, they take blood. Mm-hmm. The next day, they come and take blood. If your baby in the hospital for over 48 hours, they take more blood.
Who was the pediatrician?
You want me to call the person here?
I mean, a pediatrician, it's natural. You when you're born, a pediatrician meets you at your bedside.
Right.
That happened.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I had pediatricians, but I remember two names.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? But I won't call their name.
Okay. Let's not call the name.
I know. You understand? And they came and they check. They took him, they check. They bring him back, they check. All is checking and still didn't detect. That's impossible.
Let me read a couple of these text messages. There's a text right here that says, my deepest condolences to the young mother. I am actually shedding tears and it's not my child. And don't even know her. This human story highlights the foolishness and neglect by the healthcare professionals, some of which think they are infallible.
Mm-hmm.
Good day. You must know there is evil in BMH Hospital in the maternity ward.
Come on, man. You all don't do that this morning, man.
It gets better. It gets better. It gets better. Witchcraft, Wiccan, racist.
Man, stop it, man. Do not.
Yeah.
Let's not go down that path.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good morning, Levin and Gas. Levin, tell the young lady condolences on her loss, but tell her God only takes the best. And she will, you know, I hear you text right up. You know, I have an uncle that's good English, yes, who has been preaching the gospel for as long as I had memory. And he had a wife that died. And I remember when his wife died, I remember going to his house, and you know it was one of the statements he's made that has stuck with me forever? He said, I have preached to people that the Lord gives and the Lord takes. It is different when the Lord takes yours.
Yeah.
So all of the Lord give and the Lord take away people, I don't listen to them.
Me
yeah, I don't. Yeah, why God ain't come for yours? You sound like you could have taken it.
Why mine?
Yeah. And so I hear you text right up, but I don't know if the Lord gives and the Lord takes is the one I like. I sympathize with the mother.
Strong.
Yeah, I sympathize with the mother. I would request an autopsy report. The autopsy was done.
Yeah, we read the results.
And the results are conclusive that the baby died from bilirubin disease. Now, I read something somewhere that said that bilirubin disease has an effect over a period of about a month.
Okay.
Yours is a bit quick.
Well, you got to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Jaundice is bilirubin.
Okay.
If nobody had known.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Every baby is born with bilirubin in their system.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be high.
Sure.
And it may be high. But they still detect it, and that's why they tell mothers, hey, carry your baby out in the sun, feed the baby every 2 hours, the bilirubin will flush through their system.
Okay.
You understand? Mm-hmm. Yes, bilirubin takes time. Jaundice even takes time.
Right, about a month.
You understand what I'm saying?
And then they say, you know, it can cause damage to the brain.
If
your
baby has a severe case of bilirubin,
especially at 3 days
it's
old.
Not going to take time. It's going to, you know, baby's not really built to fight off certain things.
That's tough.
So if your baby is born, or even as days went by and it went high and a bit old, any case of medication or any case of, it's going to get
worse.
See, Ian, like, my baby got medication.
Yeah.
And, like, he went underneath the light, and then this happened.
No, he stood no
None of this happened. None of the medication, none of the lights, nobody even detecting that he have jaundice happened. You understand what I'm saying? Mm. So, in that case, it wasn't detected. They did not give him any medication, and it was not treated. Yeah. So, as the time went by, it got worse. And that's why it happened in such a short period of time.
That is sad. This here says, I sympathize with the mother, but I would request an autopsy. The first doctor should be held responsible for the death of the child. As a father who delivered my youngest at home, I have no words. Newborn, I think I know that father. I only know one fella around here who born he babies home.
Love that.
With his own hands.
Love that.
Yeah. Newborn babies only have one cup of blood. Why were they taking so much blood even to his final hours?
Yes,
Jesus.
Right.
Good day. I want to express my condolences to this young lady who lost her son. This story brought tears to my eyes, and I am filled with rage upon hearing that something needs to be done with these doctors continuing with this level of irresponsibility. I feel this woman's pain.
I want to interject here. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of times we're going to jump and immediately blame. And this isn't to pick a side, but to draw light to a bigger issue that we have in our healthcare system. We are in the middle of a pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We are understaffed, overworked in our healthcare system.
Right.
We have people who are being irresponsible from the COVID side,
mm-hmm.
as well as, you know, normal things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
People are having sex. Mm-hmm. Pregnancies are occurring.
Yeah.
People still have normal heart disease, mm-hmm. Cancer, a lot of different things that require the same attention within our healthcare system.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I feel like issues like this bring to light that larger issue within the healthcare system as a whole.
Right.
There is a lack of support even internally.
Mm-hmm.
They underpaid, overworked, stressed, inside of a situation that now requires them to operate under guidelines that they've never operated under before.
Sure.
And a crumbling infrastructure.
Yeah.
So I'm not taking away from, because yours is just negligent.
Yeah, there would be.
There's no explanation for that. Yeah. There's none. And I don't want you to feel that that's what this conversation is about.
No,
but I think it brings to light so much more of the underlying issues that we're having in the healthcare system.
Right.
Nurses, doctors, everyone.
Right. We've got about 2 minutes, Destiny. I imagine that there are going to be people that want to figure out how to find you, figure out how to get in contact with you. I know that you're in social media. How do people find you on social media so that they can reach out? You know, maybe one is on to them or anybody could come.
Yeah, well, you could reach me on Facebook at Destiny Monroe. My Destiny is not spelled with a Y. It is spelled with two I's.
Okay. So your name Destiny.
Destiny, and you will see my handsome baby boy on my profile picture. If you want to reach out, if not, you want to send a WhatsApp, send a text, you could. 423-0858. All the prayers are welcome. And I appreciate 0858.
Destiny, I appreciate you for coming. That music means the show is over. I don't know what to say. It would no longer exist. I
to the ground, baby.
Yeah.
You don't got to worry about that.
It's Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Thank you so much for staying with us. Thank you so much for, I don't know. Guardian Radio, your station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. News that happens now.